Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Over the place and, you know, just charge it to the game. So, okay, and this is one of those cases. So, Mark, can you fly your mic back over there? All right, so last week, after the show, Mark is new to the show, and so I said, well, you know, how'd you like it? You know, he's like, that's cool, you know, it's good.
And that was very, very nice.
I had a good time, and he said, you know, you might want to, you know, you have a lot of guys listening, so you might want to, you know, talk about sports every now and then. I'm just saying. And so I was like, wow, okay, well, I'm going to have to lean on your expertise on that one because I'm just, you know, not quite as proficient in sports. But you know, I did see that post. I put it on the Hot 105 Facebook page about the guy from, what is it, Show the Prophet, Lemonade, that wants to move the Hurricanes from Sun Life and build a new stadium for them in South Miami.
Wow. So they're going to... So he's proposing to actually move the team's games?
Right, everything to Tropical Park.
Wow.
So he said he will put up the first $1 million.
Yeah.
If people will get behind him. And
how do you think people will feel about that?
Well, you know, I posted it on the Facebook page, and people were not happy about that at all. And it would. I mean, I posted several times that I think that it would hurt the economy in Miami Gardens. All of that traffic, what is that, an average of 25,000?
Yeah.
People coming through there, that's a lot of traffic. That's a lot of people going to restaurants and eating.
Not only Miami Gardens, but that whole area, Miramar, Pembroke
exactly.
Pines.
All benefits.
North Miami.
From them being there.
Yeah.
So, there was a lot of... Marcus Lemonis. Apparently, he's, you know, multimillionaire. And the debate is fierce now to the point that one young lady said, has a new stadium ever made a team win? I was like, you know, that is, thank you. If somebody could point to one, that they built a new stadium and all of a sudden they became an award-winning team, mm-hmm. then I think people could go with that proposition, but not so much. So did you check out the Sunny Isles Jazz Festival by any chance?
This
weekend?
I sure didn't. I was checking out the game, but...
See, there you go. Did you watch the Hurricanes?
No, but a lot of people saw the Dolphins. They didn't do too so hot today.
Really?
The Cowboys took them. So
I didn't, you know, I missed it.
A lot of people, you know, wish they would have missed that one, too, because...
But the Dolphins have been bad, if I'm understanding. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins have been bad all season.
They're not, you know, they're having a challenging season, so.
Having a fishy season.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my attempted humor.
But they lost at home, so that's, you know.
But they lost last time at home, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. But shouts out to Caroline Taylor, Mariel Epps, Shanita Hunt, and Lizanne Lyons, not to be confused with Lion Dynasty at all. They performed at the Sunny Isles Jazz Fest on Saturday. Missed it, but I hope you, if you went, it was good. Call us if you went. Let us know how it was. Speaking of Lion Dynasty, do you watch Empire at all?
I catch some of the episodes. It's pretty interesting.
Well, it was. It was until this season. This season is just, you know. I went to Bimini Wednesday, and I was on the ship when we were watching the show. And one of the ladies from Bimini was on her way home, and she said, you know, I think that they thought they were going to get kicked off the air after the first season, so they didn't have anything planned. I was like, you know what? It does kind of feel that way. The first season was just dynamic. It was everything. And, yeah, this season, not so much.
So what happened now?
I don't know. It's just the storyline is just not there. It's just kind of not cohesive. It just, and whatever that is, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight on Where Is the Love in the Music Business. It is that thing.
Yeah.
It's intangible. You can't buy it. You can't give it to somebody. But it's that. When you have it, you know you've got it. And it had it. Last season, you just could not wait till it came on and didn't want it to go off. This season, I'm multitasking. I'm on the computer. I'm feeding the dogs. I'm right. What happened? You know, it's not there anymore. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. Maybe it'll come back. And speaking of where is the love, Patty. Patty.
What?
Okay, I'm going to need you to call James Wright Chanel and cut him a check. Okay, so you've heard about the viral video. Patti LaBelle, this guy James Wright Chanel, did a video. He went to Walmart and bought one of Patti's pies.
He bought five pies.
Five pies. Five. Katrina, I got a pie for you. And he tasted the pie.
Yeah.
Oh, Patti, you moist. Pays 8, 9, 10 million views later, right? Walmart can't keep a pie in the store.
He said, once you eat one of these pies, it makes you want to sing.
Sing like Patti. Patty! Okay, so he goes, TMZ catches up with Patti LaBelle out on the stroll. And Patty says, well, you know, he's a very lovely young man, but he had nothing to do with my pies flying out of Walmart. The pies were selling before he did that video.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to need to give Patty a reality check. Because that's not. Did anybody in this room know Patty had pies? Before that video, everybody shook their heads. No, thank you very much. And I'm shocked that she didn't just cut him a little check. I mean, as much as she is making, they sold $2 million in pies.
Wow.
By the third day that video had gone viral.
So how long has Patty, how long has she had
pies? I don't know how long the pies
store?
Been there, but nobody knew they were there until he said it. And they, nor were they sold out. And people going, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to Walmart trying to find a Patty. LaBelle, super did the pie. But hashtag cut the check, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
That's my Twitter this week. Coming up on Hot Talk, Scott Israel next week with the lovely Deborah King, Don King's daughter. She's doing some great stuff in South Florida. They'll both be here talking about the life of an addict and how to intervene. And it's Art Basel. It comes so quickly. And we'll have a preview of all of the great stuff happening. Connie Kennard from the Greater Miami Convention Visitors Bureau will be here. Commissioner Keon Hardiman. And lots of other goodies. iUrban TV's Andre, what is your last name? I was talking to him earlier today because one of our guests tonight will be displaying her works at the exhibit during Art Basel. I will tell you about her and what she's doing coming up in just a few. Sugar Cane Magazine will be in the house as well, so don't miss us next week. But tonight's show, Where Is the Love? I want to go back. You have that first clip. We're going to go back to the beginning, to where the industry, the recording industry as we know it, I feel, kind of started. And coming up tonight, we got Betty Wright in the house. She's going to be talking about her love of the music and how she has saved many a career. We're talking to, I tried to assemble, a nice collective of South Florida's best and brightest who can really give you an unadulterated look at the business. People always ask, can you get my song on the radio? How get my song on the radio? How am I going to blow, Jill Tracy? How am I going to blow? I said, you know what? I'm going to assemble a panel of people who can tell you. And I suggest that you call in and talk to them. It's a wonderful time, and they are open. And the reason why I chose them is because they are 100% honest at all times.
Yeah.
So let's start at the top. Let's go back. Way back. You got me, Mark?
Yeah. Back at the time.
There you go.
So.
You got it.
Oh, you okay.
Drop it.
Okay.
Oh, no.
We've allowed hip hop to be downgraded so much that it's almost.
That's not it.
No. That's it. You're going to the Chitlin Circuit.
The Chitlin Circuit.
Uh huh.
Wait a minute.
You have a card that says Chitlin Circuit. A sound clip that says Chitlin Circuit.
Hold on a second here.
In the meantime, since we have a second, I will open up the mic to my guest, and I will tell you who's in the house. If you saw the Instagram this week, I called her the baby doll, the baby girl of South Florida sound. If anybody is the next heir to the throne, it would be Miss Tenier, who is in the studio. How are you, sunshine?
I'm I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you for coming.
Thank
so,
you.
How old are you now?
I'm 18.
Jesus Christ, I'm so old. I'm so old. I remember when you were just a thought in your mother's womb. And with Tania tonight is the president, CEO of her record company. And also, so do you all share your familiar ties as well. And he's also her dad. Please welcome Ted Lucas.
How you doing?
To Hot Talk. I am great. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed.
So,
I'm blessed.
So glad to have you. And this lady right here, you just can't really talk about music in South Florida unless you talk to La Reina, the queen, Miss Betty Wright.
What's up, baby girl?
How are you?
I'm blessed. A little jet lag, but I'm good.
Where were you?
L.A.
Oh, okay. You just got in.
I landed at about 8 o'clock.
I love it.
I was on the serious trek to get it, but you know, my promise is good.
Okay. I cannot thank you enough for being here. And journalist, author, an all-around Renaissance man, Peter Bailey.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Good to be here.
And as well, all the way on the other end, because this studio is not set up micless, but we'll be switching. We'll be playing musical chairs because I promised Betty I'm going to get her out early. So is another young up-and-coming artist in South Florida who I just think is doing great things and looking forward to him doing big things. Prez P is back in the building.
I'm back. What's good? What's happening?
How are you? And the camp is smaller tonight.
You told me not to bring the whole gang.
Okay, so. He must have had like 8. I'm like, how many managers do you have?
Enough.
Okay, so are we cued?
Okay, so you're looking for Press P.
That is Press P. That's Press P over there. No, I'm looking for the Shetland Circuit.
That's one of my combo.
Okay, yeah. So how about we go to a little Rolls Royce? Love don't live here anymore. While you assemble, I'll get everybody something to drink, and we will start back up at the top of the show. No? Okay. Love that. Where is the love in the music industry? Let's talk about it tonight right here on Hot Talk. Stay tuned.
You abandoned me. Love don't live here anymore. Just a vacancy. Love don't live here anymore. Ooh.
Beautiful thing about the music. So we're sitting here listening to Rolls Royce, and Betty says, "You know, I discovered her. You have to tell that story. That's amazing."
Yeah, we were going to Miami-Dade over the one on 27th Avenue, and she had just gotten here from Mississippi, and she wanted to be an airline stewardess, and basically we were teasing her because she was about to flunk out. In this science, all of this stuff that you had to study back then. And she was humming, just walking through the student union. And I heard this song called Is There a Place by Gladys Knight. I said, can you sing that whole song?
Wow.
She said, you got a quarter? I said, yeah. Gave her a quarter. She stood on the top of the table in the student union and sang that song.
That's amazing.
I think it was like 3.5 days later, I took her to the studio. We had a little girls group. We called them Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We cut a record on the car, Potato Salad. You know, like how we say, you know, all that cliche.
Right.
In 71, that was what we used to say.
Potato Salad.
What it is, Potato Salad. Wow. You know.
I love it.
So, and then eventually, Norman Whitfield came to town looking for a replacement. Talk Boom, which is Chaka Khan's sister.
Sister.
Undisputed Truth. And he got himself listening to Gwen for that position. And after he heard Gwen, he said, oh, mommy, I'm taking her and start a whole new group. Rolls Royce.
Well, you know, I wanted to start, and Mark will find that clip. It's some research, and there's a gentleman who wrote a book called The Chitlin' Circuit and the Road to the Rock and Roll.
Okay.
And it really kind of lays out how the industry began. Basically, there was a reporter from the Chicago Defender who was a sometime musician, and he used to travel around looking for gigs, and because everybody knew him from the Defender being syndicated in these cities, he had name recognition, so he went in to find gigs. So he had this little string of gigs all through the South, which turned into the Chitlin' Circuit and became the route to fame for a lot of African-American artists in the South because of segregation. And it seemed to me that we were prospering. Now, that was before you. It was sort of like the 30s to the 60s.
I actually did do the 60s.
Okay.
Next year will be my 50th year, Jim.
In the business.
Yes. So.
Oh, we got to do something big.
I actually did do the Chitlin' Circuit.
Wow. Yes, so tell me, can you share one of the things that I think is missing? You tell me. I think one of the things that's missing in today's music is the industry. Although we have access to a lot of technology, we have lost the camaraderie.
Well, you lose camaraderie because it became very simple to become a quote-unquote star. First of all, it's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is tricking you. You're mm-hmm. not no star because you're going in and get 100 million views. You
right.
can buy that.
Right.
But when we came up, we had to become a star. I'm from the Poking Bean Project.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be a star on 62nd Street before I could get to be a star on 67th Street.
Right.
So we had to really earn it. You had to play every club in Miami, and we had a dozen of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before the expressway came through and before it became the police station, the Sir John Hotel.
Right.
We played the Mary Elizabeth. We played the Island Club. We played
Second Avenue.
Yeah, we played everywhere. And we had a lot of hard work. And people didn't just get on stage and you know, like we got auto-tune now and Melodyne. You can make anybody sound like a hit.
Right.
But they had to sing because people were coming straight out of church
mm-hmm.
to the stage. So when you say Sam and Dave, you're talking about singers. You're talking about people that did this with their whole heart. Everybody's cousin didn't say, oh, well, somebody's got a record label. We're going to, you know, go ahead and do a record on them.
Right.
So now you've just got too much access, media access. You got that highway where I can put a song right now. I can say boo-boo-pee-doo, boo-boo-pee-doo, and somebody in Russia can hear it right then.
Right.
But before,
right,
we had to go out there, and we had to go to Jacksonville, and we had to go to Tresvant, Tennessee, and Two Egg, Florida, places that you don't even know exist.
Right.
And that's how. And we had to find out who went there the last time, and did the man pay you? You
right.
know, like now, you get your money all up front. I'd be on the stage singing real good and see the man with the strong box, because
right.
strong box going out the door while you trying to sing your
right.
song. You know, so
yeah,
that's what we missed.
And we
were close because we had to be
to
close.
Be, yeah,
you know, it was a union.
And then I think it made us all stronger, and it made everybody a little more prepared. For
yeah,
the business when
so,
they came out
it
the
wasn't
door.
So crowded because only the cream would come to
rise
the top.
To the top.
Now it's 900 people out there, and 880 of them cannot sing.
Need to go home.
I'm taking up space from people with good taste.
Okay. Coming up after this break, we ready to go to that piece. Okay, so we're gonna go to the Chitlin' Circle piece, then we'll be back after this break. Tony Neal is in the building.
The Chitlin' Circuit existed because of racial segregation. Racial segregation concentrated black businesses, whether in towns and cities, onto usually one main street. Beale Street in Memphis is very famous. Auburn Avenue in Atlanta is very famous. The people that lived and worked and partied on these streets in these districts called their main street the Stroll. That was the hip vernacular for black Main Street, the Stroll. So every place of any size, from Muskogee to Miami, had a Stroll. And every Stroll had a kingpin.
To us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
Thank you so much. Where is the love in the music industry today? As we grown up to know it, it has changed tremendously. Tony Neal made it in the building. We'll talk to him in a few. Tracy on line one, you're calling about the Patty Pies. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, how are you, Jill?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, it's a funny thing, and I believe I agree. I mean, I've been a chef about well over 20 years, and I heard nothing about the Patty LaBelle.
Thank you very much.
Until this Tyrone, and I mean, everyone I've spoken to called me, asked about it, and yet, I mean, it would be a good gest. I mean, it's not like it would cost her anything to send him a little something. Plus, I mean, he was a good spokesman, because to move those pies, and I have a friend who worked at at Walmart. She said they've been out for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to look back and sort of plot from when that video put onto where there is now to the fact that people are now pre-buying pies for Christmas time, this would have never happened, I don't think, with
Tyrone. But it never happened. And, you know, all them Paula Deen pies and Pioneer Woman pies are sitting up in there. But if Patty don't cut him a check, hers is going to be sitting up in there, too. Thank you so much for calling, Tracy.
By all means. Same thing. And I want to say one more thing about when I was listening to Betty Wright. I mean, I agree with her. I mean, as someone who, you know, I'm a little, I mean, the music just doesn't have that. So, and I think because, you know, back in the days, I mean, you know, going to see these concerts, you know, you had to perform. And if you couldn't do a live show, then that means we knew we weren't going to pre-buy that record. We weren't going to go through this sort of, you know, precondition, like it's almost Pavlov's Dog, where they play the song so much on the radio, you hear it and you start to like it. And then you realize that the person has no talent when you go see them live. They can't hold a note. And then there you know, they just sort of disappear off the scene. And
exactly.
I mean, for a brief period, we had sort of that neo soul, which was bringing back the live scene. And it was, you know, the Jill Scotts and the Andy Stones and the Roots. I mean, they were sort of putting that love back into the music. And somehow we started going back to this sort of mechanical, you know, package thing of what the industry think we should listen to. And I mean, you know, I mean, myself, I mean, I buy with my dollars. I mean, I go across the board. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're good. I'm always a Jill Scott because I've seen her perform. I know she's got a good song. But a lot of these, you know, you get one track on it. And then you're sitting here saying, well, I got 14 tracks I don't even want to listen to. I mean, so I...
Right, and I don't think people are really buying albums the way they used to.
Part of the reason is that when people don't make money, like record companies are not making money now because of plagiarism and piracy and bootlegging, so they try to make the cheapest record possible and think it's going to be a quality record because they're looking at the avenues of revenue, which get limited. So when they're in the studio, they're taking the voice, and instead of letting the person really cut their chops in the studio and learn how to do it in key, they just go ahead and melodyne it. They go ahead and auto-tune it and just say, hey, it take 1 hour to do this. You're going to be here 8 hours. That's going to cost
you. We don't have
money.
We don't have time for that.
We'll just do it for you.
Tracy, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best.
And thank you. Tony Neal is the founder, the godfather, the HNIC of Core DJs, which has hosted Core DJ Retreats for independent artists for over 10 years. As a result, he has worked with many artists, including Diddy, Dirty Money. Dirty Money? Ludacris, Dipset, DJ Drama, and Jazzy Faye. Welcome, sir.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
It's nice to see you this time of night.
Right.
And not on Periscope.
Right.
So speaking of Periscope, you are quite vocal on Periscope about your views about what's happening in the business.
Uh-huh.
And I was watching you one night, and I ran across a quote that said, true music must repeat the thought and inspirations of the people at the time. Gershwin said that. And I couldn't get in your Periscope to ask you, if that be the truth, what does our music say about where we are right now? Is the music now the truth of who we are as a community right now?
Is it the truth?
I'm going around the room with this one.
I think it is. I think it's a reflection of just like we said earlier. It's too much. Social media and the internet has gave people too much access to people that they shouldn't be talking to right now.
It's just
too many people being able to reach out to. It's like, who's a legend? Who can you call a legend? We're in the last era of people that we can consider legends. You know, some of these people that came up without the internet, a few of them are still good online. But it's not many. It's not many. And the ones that's coming up in this new millennium of kids, man, I don't see no legends.
Yeah.
You know, their careers lasted maybe a year and a half, 2 years. And I'm talking about on the hip-hop side. And it's so hard for R&B. It's so hard for R&B that the rapper's singing.
If you
and, you know, you got the rapper singing.
Don't wake Drake up tonight. Don't wake him up.
You know the rapper singing. You know, so nah, it's fine with me because you know I don't care. I'm doing my own, you know, I handle my own
destiny. But I mean, your
shout out to Drake, though, because he's making my boy Timmy Thomas.
Timmy Thomas, very rich.
Come on now.
Hello.
I'm saying Drake is the most intelligent. I think that Drake is the most intelligent of and strategic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the since Jay.
Clever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's real strategic and he knows what to say in the lyrics. He says the right thing to the right people. He shouts out the right people at the right time in records. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whether it be him talking about a product, a stripper, whatever, he knows who to say, when to say it about them, and when not, and when to stop talking about them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he just real clever. Like, he's real clever and strategic in the way he handles his business and the moves that he makes around the industry. And he's surrounded by, another thing, you got to be surrounded by the right people.
Right.
You're surrounded by the right people. You know what I'm saying? You're not surrounded
by... That's that good blood, too. That's that Larry Graham. See, that whole Larry Graham. And when you come up in a business where there are the business people.
Yeah.
Because Larry Graham came up on the Sly Stone. And he came up when music was music. So he's over there telling, look at nephew, you got to do this and you got to do that. So he's just listening.
So let me add, Ted, I wanted to ask you, I mean, you know, as the label owner... now, how does that affect you? Like, when you, I'm sure, you just get, you know,
I'm going to get to a whole different point of view. I ain't going to lie to y'all, because I got to make money. You know what I'm saying? That's how I provide for my family, all the record companies. So I'm going to give it to you from a whole different point of view. Artists give me a record. Mm-hmm. The record is about 3 minutes long. Before the record finished playing, everybody in the room could tell me that artist's social media. Mm-hmm. Before the record finished playing. That make the dough right there. Because the followers there,
right?
The social media there, somebody going to buy that T-shirt. Somebody come to that concert.
Mm-hmm.
Like Betty said earlier, I can give you the record.
Right.
You take Hotline.
Right.
If somebody else was singing that record, would that record be that good?
Probably not.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. So we can give you that record, because he ain't doing no hell of a dance lines in the dancing scene.
You're
right. He ain't doing none of that.
You're right, because
you know what I'm saying?
Because your man had the record kind of first.
Thank you. It don't count. Give it to him. Give it to him real quick.
What's his name?
Who had it?
Drum. That was the cha-cha record.
I had to be like the subject matter, because you, now that you're out of town, you going out more and way less.
As soon as that song that I like, I had the drum just was like,
yeah. You right? No, it's true. You know what I'm saying? So I get it from that point of view, you know. Like I said, before the record, about 3 minutes long, before the record go off, everybody in the room, when I'm sitting down with distributors,
mm-hmm.
and we all talking about how we're going to make money in this day and age in the music business.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Some artists that have been in the business a long time, they don't have 360 deals. So we ain't getting paid off their shows.
Like, what's a 360 deal?
360 deal mean
exactly
every way
right.
you make money, I'm making money.
I'm making money.
Okay. Make something out the merchandise,
I don't care what it
some
is.
Of your publishing. Some of whatever you do.
I took the chance to invest in you and make you a star.
Right.
And now you in that movie. I got to get mine out there.
Right.
Everything you do.
Some of them believe that they shouldn't do that.
Oh, some of them believe it's crazy. But listen, I'm putting millions of dollars up to make you into a superstar.
Right. Well,
and if I'm taking that risk, I need to get paid in return.
Because of the bootlegging and stuff, it took the record business, you know, kind of out of the business.
Yeah.
It's
not a record business no more. I'm going to keep it real.
With all of that now, like I can go on Google. You can download stuff for free anyway.
What are you defining?
How do you call
it a record business? What do you define it now?
I call it making brands, man.
Mm.
That's all it is. Mm. You're a brand. You take your social media. Yeah. Your social media is BET now. Your social media is MTV now. You got your own channel. When them kids get out of school every day, they need to tune into your channel, believe in everything you do. Mm-hmm. They want to know what you eat, what you drink, what you do at all times. Every throughout the day, they stand on social media. You look at every kid now, every kid got a phone.
Mm-hmm.
They wake up in the morning, they check their phone before they even brush their teeth in the morning.
Sure do.
That's the way the game is now. So you're making brands now. we're marketing brands. That's what we're doing. The music part, I'm going to give you that. I'm being honest.
But the businessman in you cannot afford to not have a share in all of this, because you would be out of business.
I would be out of business.
Because if it ain't the T-shirts, the hat, the bumper sticker, the whatever it is, the car.
Right,
because
you're not making enough of music.
Everything.
You got to have a part of it.
I need it all.
The thing that's so beautiful about that is then the social media is a good thing.
Correct.
Because you can do so much more. We were selling T-shirts at a gig.
Yes.
But you
no.
just sell T-shirts.
Right. But
online.
$25. I can sell out in one day.
Never said it was a bad thing. I'm talking about the access that they have.
No, you're right.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like certain people that's not
that,
haven't got
that
to that
part
point.
Right there about having access.
Yeah,
even
like,
to legends. Like, I,
yeah.
Sometimes I make a comment. I'll make a comment like, I was waiting on the Usher record.
Uh-huh.
I love Ush. From a little boy, when they were getting ready to drop him,
yeah.
when he was a kid, my cousin was working at LaFace Records.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Usher fan. So I hear this record, and I have been waiting on this heavy R&B mm-hmm. record because I know Usher can do that.
Right.
And I didn't hit it. So I went on Twitter, and I said, man, I was waiting on you, Ush, and you didn't give me what I was. Oh, my goodness. These little guys went on there, they cussed me out. I had to block everybody. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I love
crazy?
Usher. I was just saying my opinion. You mean to tell me I can't say what I want to say?
Nah,
and
man,
then
crazy,
I say,
bro.
You're in the sandbox playing with the children.
You're right. You got to watch.
Yeah,
you can't talk to them.
Right.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You can hear Chris what? Brown, Neo, and the Usher record, and you can't tell me none of their voice different on the new music they make.
No more.
The music they made before, you knew when you heard Neo, that was Neo. When you heard Chris Brown, that was Chris Brown.
But what
you
is Usher, that, kid?
Because that was what she talked about earlier. Just go in the studio. I'm going to make you sound like
just
that. Rhythmic
whatever.
Record.
They,
you know what I'm saying? The radio station ain't even
really
quickly. That way no more.
Well,
you got a market that don't even have an urban radio station in a major market no more. Because there ain't no such thing as an urban radio station, rhythm radio station, pop radio. This is radio. That's what it is now. You
well,
just,
general market.
The general
that's
market.
The new
you
trend.
Put the record out. And they play. You can hear a record. You don't even know it's Usher singing it, Chris Brown singing, Neo singing, nothing. Because their voice is not different from each other no more. They're just making rhythmic music.
It's kind of scary because, you know, we're on the Gladys Knight record.
Yeah,
you know,
Omarion,
you
know,
Omarion,
right. You know, he
you
didn't say that, right?
Hey,
yeah.
Hey,
right, you already
right.
knew
you
it. Yeah.
You knew.
So as a new artist coming, how do you distinguish yourself, you know, in a market?
I'm going to tell you something. A new artist... I'm going to tell you the truth. They got to have a real big fan base behind them. Before, we had a fan base, like Betty said, when she left 62nd, everybody on 62nd say, Betty, I seen anybody on 67th Street. I'm telling y'all not. It ain't like that no
right.
Now, your fans going to dictate and tell you, boy, he the hardest or she the best right now in the marketplace based on how they tuned in as your followers. I'm not going to lie to you. That's what it comes down to, how many followers you got. That's what make me say, I can invest in this artist. Because as long as he got those followers, people that believe in him, that's your people who's tuned in to you. They believe in you. They're going to ride or die for you. And they're willing to fight for you. Just like you mess with Usher fans, right?
Right.
You seen how they responded to you?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. They're going to ride or die for you.
Right.
And they come to that concert. They're going to be loyal
well,
to you.
And the two, so the two artists that we have in the studio now are definitely on the right track because Tanier has got her T-Birds and Perez P has his camp. The camp, they ride deep, and their social media, both of them, you know, when it came to doing this show, I put out, you know, I do the Instagram or whatever, but it's always the younger, aggressive artists that really work it. Tanier and Perez both really worked what I sent out, added their own, sent it to their people, had them send it to some other people, you know, and I think that the older artists were not taking advantage of it to the level that they are. But does that... But is the time spent in that taking away from the time spent developing themselves as an artist? And are you, Ted, then driving that social media to a platform where you and that artist can monetize on that? You know, because you can't, I mean, some people are making money off of Instagram and things like that, but you really got to be driving those people back to Tanier.com to be able to create that real estate.
You got to be able to have it all. To make, like, you got to be an artist that not only I can just sing, because that ain't enough to get it right now.
Not at all.
Your work ethic got to be better than that next artist is out there. You got to outwork everybody. I tell everybody, man, Rick Ross, for an example. Fat Boy really worked hard, man.
He does.
That ain't come up. That when he's every day hustling, anybody that know Fat Boy, he get down. He worked for you. That ain't, I'm just going to sit back and eat all day and the money going to fall.
Right.
Boy, Fat Boy would go 20 hours out of 24, grinding hard to get his.
Right.
That's something I can honestly say. Pitbull, that boy was a rapper, man. He's a pop star now.
Yeah.
That boy worked hard to be that what he is today.
Yeah.
And your work ethic got to outwork everybody else in the game. That's what you got to say. I don't
Beyonce
care who he is. You can't outwork. Beyonce is another
that
one.
Work all
That's
day.
When you see people
all
getting money
day.
Right now. Their work ethic is better than their talent.
Yeah.
You got to be able to surround everything. The talent got to be able to match it. Your work ethic
Your team, everybody running because the team effort. Everybody, you got to check. Right. Anybody in your team that ain't working harder than you,
they
get around
go.
Me, man.
Hey, that's real.
Get around
me.
Some of them are in the music business, but you in the business of music.
Exactly.
See, that's the difference.
It's the difference.
That's real. If your team not willing to learn with you, and learn this business with you, and learn when to say and when to speak and when to, when to and keep not embarrass you and public, all the stuff.
Some media training while they own the media. Have some media training.
Well, there seems to be, and there was a time, Motown really honed the craft. And it went through the 80s, up to, I guess it kind of ended at Mary J. Blige. When you really trained people to be out there in the public, but now it's not happening, and they are detrimental to their own career.
You learn on the job now.
You don't take the time to do it no more.
Yeah. There's no development art. That don't even exist no more.
Yeah.
The art is better
except
than
in my house.
But are you doing that? I was going to say, in Betty's house and your, are you doing that with your, Tanier is an exception because she's your child. But.
And I went on the road with one artist. I was afraid that they wasn't going to be able to handle it. I'm being honest. I went on the road with one artist, Sebastian. I went on the road with him for 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big investment. I got to protect my investment.
Right.
I went on the road with him. Did the chitin circuit y'all talking about.
Right.
Went up here in Miami, went all the way up to New York, Texas, North Carolina. We broke the record. Right. I had to go with him. By the time we got to South Carolina, he finally understood how to even do an interview.
Wow.
And the record took off. So I had to get out of the
way. It did.
This boy don't mess up this money.
Right.
So I got on the road with him and went city to city, state to state. And we came back with a gold record. And the album sold over 200,000 copies. But once I seen that the record's taking off, I knew this kid wasn't ready for it. So I had to go out there and make sure after every.
But can you do that with every artist or do you?
Some you can.
Some people can just can't do it. They'll accept things from a rapper. You could say, see what I'm saying?
Correct.
You know what I'm
saying?
You feel me? Correct. And then they won't take it from to you.
They won't take it.
She comes up there and says, like I say, she's so ignorant.
Yeah.
Or whatever, because they'll think it's cool.
From
what the rapper does, it's like a hard thing.
Right.
But they're not gonna take it from me.
No.
If I don't put the TH on the, if I say duh,
ignorant.
Did you hear? She's so ignorant.
Yeah. You're not a star.
Yeah.
There's something it ain't there. The photo is not there.
But then, you have to also get in an environment that is progressive. Because if, people like Jennifer Lopez, people say, Jennifer will never be Aretha. But Aretha will never be Jennifer.
Jennifer, right.
Because Jennifer is a person that if I say sing for 14 hours, she stayed in that studio. She never gave up on herself, and she never gave up on me. And the whole time, with all of these musical producers, when I was doing vocals, you got Tone and Polk, you got Rodney Jerkins, you got Corey Rooney, you got Puffy. You got all of these different people doing tracks. But I was the only one doing that voice. So I had to have that confidence in her, and she had to have it in me. But look at that record, sold 6 million.
Right.
And that's the proof that when is the last time my girl Aretha sold 6 million?
So people want microwave results, man. Like, people want these microwave. The internet, Ted, like what you were saying about people having to follow him, man. And then when you sign them. After they had, after you see this big follow, like my conferences, T, you've been around since I started to come. People from my era laughed at me for having a website. They laughed at me for getting MySpace and when I started the core, like I was trying to stay up on all the web stuff. Like I never promoted my conference. I had 25 conferences now. I never promoted none of them on the radio. Absolutely. None of them. I never done none of them on the radio. I just got a group of people that believed in the same thing I believed in. First, before we started talking about breaking records, I wanted a team around me that understood the same thing I did. And that was it for me. Like, this social media will mislead some of them. Some of them, you had a faith in them, and then all of a sudden, because they got these followers,
I was going to say, there's a double-sided...
it might turn into something,
sword.
Let me say something. I don't met artists who had all these followers and got no social skills.
You mean a face to face?
Well, because
you mean a face to face, boy. I'm talking about.
You already know somebody is working that media
somebody
is tweeting. Somebody working for them because
they don't.
Well, because they can't put a sentence together. We're gonna examine it, Tony. You know, you brought up something because you really are one of the gatekeepers of the music for all the work that Betty does with an artist and Ted does with an artist. You know, it really comes down to you and your DJs on who is really going to blow. So how does it happen? We'll talk about it coming up after this break. It's Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
And we are back on Hot Talk. So, you know, we always have the best laid plans of producing in here. So a couple of things that we missed in the beginning of the show. We'll be on the remix, yes, for those of you who are tweeting me. That wanted to hear, thank you, want to hear the Chitlin' Circuit piece. I love that, thank you. So it'll be remixed into the podcast on the Hot 105 website. And I'll give you the 411 on that coming up on Monday, where you can check it out. But tonight we are talking about where is the love in the music industry. It has changed, we all agree that it has changed tremendously from when we were coming up from the Chitlin' Circuit, where, you know, everybody, each one, reach one and teach one and bring one up, to the Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud 70s, and we were all pro-black and pro-my people, and James Brown was doing it for everybody, and we made our funk, the P-Funk. Consciousness was raised with The Last Poet and Gil Scott, and Smokey Robinson started an entire category of radio with The Quiet Storm. So one would wonder, with all that positivity, how did we get where we are now? Now, some people will blame it on hip-hop and the cracked-out 80s. Mm-hmm. I would be one of them. Tony, you tell me, what do you think? I feel like it happened in the 80s.
Nah.
When the game changed.
Nah.
Crack, to me, is the worst thing that happened in the black community. And I think it affected our second children that came behind it.
Well, I mean, the people that made the most money in the 90s in the music. So, I don't know.
The 90s were productive to us. Yeah, like, so, I'm saying crack and the 80s.
About as far as the kids that came after that, like the kids that were born then.
Well, what happens then that created what was born that we're dealing with now?
I don't know. We start getting into more. That might be a betting question for me.
I'm sitting there trying to.
That might be.
But you know, I mean, but Betty. Musician, yeah, I'm going to bring Peter down.
Yeah.
Right, Peter, you come on. Well, Peter is an 80s baby.
Yeah.
As big as he is, he's a baby of the 80s. But I feel like, you know, the comment that I made earlier about Gershwin, that, you know, the music tells the story of our lives and our times. And so the music of the 80s was a real turn. It was sort of one of the worst times to me for black on black relationships. It's one of the first time you started to hear us speak to each other disrespectfully.
Yeah. In the 80s.
In the 80s. I tried to Google the first time the B word and the N word appeared on a record. And I could find some of everything, but I couldn't find that.
The N word probably appeared earlier, but the B word.
It was about the 80s.
The blues records, maybe.
You had some blues records with the...
You know what? I have to tell you, one time, Clarence Reed, who wrote Clean Up Woman, said to me, one day, they're going to be cussing on the radio. And I looked at him like, boy, it's gone crazy. And it was a record out called Annie Had a Baby. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
And he put that on the radio, and then it started happening. I think it was even in the 70s, different places. But I will tell you this. Those of you that do travel, don't think you're going to get that played nowhere but America. Mm-hmm. They're not playing it.
No.
They're not playing it. And as much as you love all your friends and all of these rappers that you think are amazing. They play Tupac. They play Biggie. You go to Germany, you do not hear this music.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear it. They have laws. See, we have freedom of speech. Do not
get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted, baby. Mm-hmm. They do not have freedom of speech. You can't get on a radio and talk about your president and call him a liar out.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.